Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, March 2nd, 2023, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments, silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry has an excellent magazine they put out called Israel My Glory. They are very orthodox and present the absolute truth of the Word of God. Very excellent article, and we are studying on Tuesday in the book of Joel, the Day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord includes the seven-year tribulation, second advent of Christ to the earth, and the millennial kingdom. But in that tribulation period, there is a, we haven't got to it yet, but we will in next week from Isaiah and Zechariah, the study of the day of the Lord. There's a battle that is revealed in the Old Testament scriptures and in the book of Revelation called Armageddon. A lot of people know the word. They haven't got a clue as to what it is for sure. Armageddon is Satan's great attempt to wipe out every Jew from the face of the earth. If he does, he wins the angelic conflict. So he brings the king of the north, which is Russia, allied with Iran. Russia and Iran, together from the north, they come down. Communist China from the east come into the valley of Megiddo. Pan-Arabic bloc comes up from the south into the valley of Megiddo. And the Antichrist, revived Roman Empire, comes from the west, and they all converge on Israel. Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo, the objective to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. Now, this article in their Friends of Israel magazine kind of say, everything is in place. Everything is in place for that to take place. All it's waiting for is the rapture. We won't be here in the tribulation. The rapture will end the church age and we'll be out of here. We'll be going through an evaluation at the judgment seat of Christ. And while that's going on in heaven, the tribulation is going on here on earth. But everything's set up for it. And this article is Iranian drones in the Ukraine. Are they a warm-up for Israel? Russia's use of Iranian-made unmanned drones in its war against the Ukraine is forcing Israel to step up its own defenses against such weapons. As analysts warn that the Ukraine is a testing ground for a future Iranian-Russian war against Israel. Since the first Iranian combat drones arrived in Russia in August 2022, Russian forces have launched hundreds of them from long distances targeting vital Ukrainian infrastructure, including electricity and water facilities. Although Ukrainians have shot down up to 80% of the drones, enough of them hit their targets, leaving hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians without power. The drones include the Shahed 136 with a range of up to 1,500 miles. It can carry up to 110 pounds of explosives and can be launched in rapid-fire succession to create kamikaze drone swarms that can overwhelm the Ukraine's and possibly Israel's air defenses. Drone warfare is cost-effective. Each Iranian drone costs around $20,000. By comparison, each F-35 Lightning II, the most advanced fighter jet in the world, costs approximately $100 million, which would buy more than 4,700 drones. Russia is believed to have ordered approximately 2,000 drones from Iran, including larger, more lethal models. In October 2022, Israeli President Isaac Herzog shared intelligence with the United States about these drones. This is only the tip of the iceberg of a lot of intelligence information, Herzog said. The fact that Iran, following its activities in killing its own citizens, in working toward nuclear weapons endlessly, endangering the entire world and the region, and now killing innocent civilians in the Ukraine, clearly that gives you a picture of what Iran is all about. Middle East analysts Michael Knights and Alex Almeida warned that Iran is using its supply of drones to Russia to improve its own offensive drone warfare capabilities against Israel. Ukraine is an environment in which Russia is subsidizing Iran's military experimentation and making the process not only free for Iran, but potentially profitable. In an environment where not dozens but hundreds of drones are being used each month, Russia and Iran are learning important lessons about the saturation of defenses and the exhaustion of more expensive and slower to build air defense systems. And these lessons will be extremely useful for them in the near future. And for the Lebanese Hezbollah as it plans methods to swarm Israel's defensive systems. Israel is vulnerable to drone warfare. Ukraine's landmass is 27 times larger than Israel's. And Ukraine's population is spread throughout the country. By contrast, nearly 50% of Israel's population is concentrated in a single area, the Tel Aviv-Jaffa metropolitan region. In a future war, Russia and Iran can be expected to attack this densely populated area with thousands of rockets, missiles, and drones and cause massive destruction of life, property, and infrastructure. We must remember that the Iranians helping the Russians in their fight against the Ukraine can lead the Russians to allow the Iranians to act against Israel through the Golan Heights. Yitzhak Barik, a reserve Israel Defense Force general, recently warned. We also need to understand that Iranian drones of the type that Russia purchased from Iran have long been in the hands of Hezbollah and the pro-Iranian Shiite militias in Syria, Iraq, and Yemen. Israel needs to do more than pay attention. It needs to think about how to win a war against such a threat. Well, all of this is this is what's going on right now. And this is what we're studying on Tuesday night in the book of Joel and the day of the Lord. It's all being set up as we speak. Just waiting for the rapture. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, start the corrected translation at verse 19. And so by means of this, that is impersonal love for all, we shall know that we are of the truth, and we shall have confidence in our hearts before Him, God the Father. Verse 20, because if our heart condemns us, third class condition, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, bear in mind that God is greater than our heart. In fact, He has always known all things. In verse 20, we have this phrase, if our heart condemns us. In the next verse, we have the phrase, if our heart condemns us not. In verse 20, we have the believer out of fellowship with God, living in the cosmic system. While in verse 21, we have the believer in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life. Because if our heart condemns us, we have something in our heart. In the Greek, it's called the sunedesis, which literally means something that you know with. It's the Greek word for a conscience. And a part of our soul includes a conscience. The conscience has norms and standards, either human viewpoint garbage norms and standards, or divine viewpoint norms and standards. But the conscious with divine viewpoint norms and standards is located in the cardia, the heart. Those divine viewpoint norms and standards include the doctrine of hamartiology, which tells us what is sin and what is not sin. Your conscience tells you what is right and what is wrong. When you sin, your heart, divine norms and standards in your conscience, tell you that's wrong. It tells you that you are out of fellowship with God. It tells you you are grieving the Holy Spirit. It tells you you are living in Satan's cosmic system. And it condemns you. And that's the Greek word kataginosko. Because if our heart condemns us, and that means each one of us, you have to take the responsibility for your own bad decisions to sin. The conscience in your heart has divine viewpoint, norms, and standards, and says, this is a sin. You must not only recognize the sin, but you must also recognize the source of the sin. And the source of the sin is your volition. The old sin nature provides temptation, but your free will said yes to the temptation and sinned. And you sinned because you wanted to sin. And that means you cannot blame anyone else. You can't point your finger at anyone else. Only at yourself. Recognition of your personal sin means now you must use God's problem-solving device of rebound and get back into fellowship with God, 1 John 1:9. Because if our heart condemns us, bear in mind that God is greater than our heart. In fact, He has always known all things. And that is, He is the omniscient God. One of the attributes of God is the omniscience of God. And we started a study in that last time. We studied the first two points. The word omniscience actually comes from two Latin words, omnis all and sciens knowing. So literally, omniscience means all-knowing. We studied point one, God knows all things and He is all knowledge. That's our passage, 1 John 3:20, Job 37:16, Psalm 33:13-15, Psalm 139:1-6. And point two, we studied the omniscience of God includes not only the knowledge of things that actually happen, but also of things which possibly could have happened. All of iffy history, Matthew 11:21-23, and we studied that as well. Now that brings us to point three. Point three, there never was a time when God did not know everything that would ever happen. There never was a time when God did not know everything that would ever happen. It seems like in America things are out of control. Well, they are wacko. We are totally in degeneracy and apostasy. We're destroying ourselves from within. Forget about all of the people with nuclear weapons. Sure, Russia has them and could use them. China has them, can use them. Iran has them, could use them. They don't need to use them on us. We're doing a great job destroying ourselves all by ourselves. By our own bad decisions. And so it looks like things are falling all apart. looks like God doesn't know what's going on. God knows exactly what's going on in America. And every decision that the evil, degenerate people are making, he knew not only about it now, he knew about it in eternity past. All of the evil, all of the rejection of God and the Word of God, he's known about it from eternity past. He's in complete control. Jesus Christ controls history. And Jesus Christ controls history right now in the apostasy of Client Nation USA. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ ran for president and got elected, if he was elected president of the United States, he would have to judge America. Because he is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Don't look for him on the ticket. You won't be there. 4. Therefore, the omniscience of God is infinite. The omniscience of God is infinite. Turn over to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verse 4. He, that is the living and true God, he determines the number of the stars. Now, we used to have a cabin up at Cold Creek. We don't have it anymore. We had it at the right time when our sons were growing up, but now they've grown up and they're big and ugly and they have families of their own. And every time that Deb and I went up there, all we were doing was working all the time. We said, hell with that. So we sold to somebody else so that they could do all the work. And at one time we were up there, we went out, and I mean, there was billions and billions and billions of stars. But I asked my intelligent sons, how many stars do you think are up there? I say 23. The apple doesn't fall very far from the tree, you know. Well, the Lord created them. Not only did he create them, he knows how many there are, the number of the stars. And not only that, he has called them, he's named them. He has a name for all the stars. Verse 5, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. You might see, have something like, has no limit. Well, that's what infinite is. Has no limit. It's infinite. His omniscience is infinite. 5, God knows the end from the beginning. God knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46, 8 through 10. So turn over to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. Verse 8, Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done. This is eschatology. Saying, my decree will be established. Therefore, I will accomplish all my good pleasure. So God knows the end from the beginning, Isaiah 46, 8 through 10. Point 6. God knows perfectly and eternally as well as simultaneously all that is knowable, both actual and possible. God knows perfectly and eternally as well as simultaneously all that is knowable, both actual and possible. So, God isn't like a man. In God, the knowledge of one thing is not before another. One act of knowledge does not lead to another. God knows all things instantly and simultaneously without any succession of knowledge in himself. Everything that has been known or ever will be known has been known to God since eternity past. God never learns anything because he has always known everything. God could pass any examination on any subject at any time or on all subjects at the same time. And he could have done so in eternity past. So God knows perfectly and eternally as well as simultaneously all that is knowable, both actual and possible. 7. God has 3 categories of knowledge. Self-knowledge, omniscience, and foreknowledge. God has 3 categories of knowledge. Self-knowledge, which relates to the Godhead, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And omniscience, which relates to creation, all humanity, all angels. And foreknowledge, which relates to believers only. So 3 categories of knowledge, self-knowledge relating to the Trinity, omniscience relating to creation, foreknowledge relates to believers only. So let's take a look at those 3 categories. First of all, self-knowledge. Self-knowledge. 1, God has perfect, eternal, and infinite knowledge of himself. God knows himself. God knows his attributes, his essence. God knows his plan. God knows his policy. God knows himself perfectly. Two, he knows everything that relates to himself or emanates from himself. He knows everything that relates to himself or emanates from himself. And since God is eternal, there never was a time when he did not know these things. 3, self-knowledge is not only related to God the Father, first person of the Trinity, but also to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. They are co-equal and co-eternal. They have the very same attributes. 4, Each member of the Trinity, therefore, has a perfect knowledge about himself and a perfect knowledge about the other members of the Trinity. Each member of the Trinity, therefore, has a perfect knowledge about himself and a perfect knowledge about the other members of the Trinity. That's self-knowledge. The second category is omniscience. One, while God's self-knowledge relates to the Trinity, his omniscience relates to all creatures, angelic and human. While God's knowledge, self-knowledge relates to the Trinity, his omniscience relates to all creatures. All creatures, angelic and human. Two, God's omniscience knows all things that are certain, and he placed them in the divine decree. And we saw that in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. God's omniscience knows all things that are certain, and he placed them in the divine decree. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Three, every certain thing related to the thinking, the decisions, and actions of God's creatures were placed in the divine decree from the omniscience of God. Every certain thing related to the thinking, decisions, and actions of God's creatures were placed in the divine decree from the omniscience of God. Four, however, the omniscience of God not only knows all things actual, those in the divine decree. The omniscience of God not only knows all things actual, those in the divine decree, but also all things possible, the things that could have happened but did not, they were left out of the divine decree. So the omniscience of God not only knows all things actual, those in the divine decree, but also all things possible, the things that could have happened but did not, they were left out of the divine decree. Five, the actual is placed in the divine decree to become history. The actual is placed in the divine decree to become history. While the possible or probable are decisions and actions which could have occurred, but they did not. Six, every minute detail of both angelic and human history is completely in God's mind at all times. With everything that looks like it's coming apart all around the world, God knows all about it, and he knew all about it in eternity past. Every minute detail of both angelic and human history is completely in God's mind at all times. Now, we saw this last week, but let's a very important passage. Turn to it again, Psalm 139. Psalm 139, which is a psalm of David. David being a winner believer, spiritually mature believer, the greatest king in Israel's history, a man after the Lord's own heart. He totally knew God. He loved the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, and strength. And he knew who and what God is. Psalm 139, verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, as you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, as you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, then you will know God and love God. And you will have the same thinking that David has here. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. God knows each one of you inside and out. You see, people, they just see a little tiny part. They see some of the things on the outside. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. God knows every thought in your mind. All your motivations for what you do. All your thinking. He knows every detail. He knows you better than you know yourself. But that's a great thing. For the spiritually adult believer, that's awesome. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. And such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. So every minute detail of both angelic and human history is completely in God's mind at all times. 7. Therefore, omniscience perceives the free as free, the necessary as necessary, together with all their causes, conditions, and relations as one indivisible system of things. Now, if you were at Dallas Theological Seminary and this was on the test, they would ask you to define omniscience. I was at Dallas Theological Seminary and they asked this on a test and they wanted this exactly, word for word. So we memorized it, make sure we had it down. Therefore, omniscience perceives the free as free, the necessary is necessary, together with all their causes, conditions, and relations as one indivisible system of things. And then that brings us to the third category of the knowledge of God, foreknowledge. Foreknowledge. One, between the omniscience of God and the foreknowledge of God is the divine decree. Between the omniscience of God and the foreknowledge of God is the divine decree. Omniscience places in the divine decree actual history. Omniscience places in the divine decree actual history, the thoughts, the decisions, the actions of all of God's creatures. That's omniscience. Omniscience places in the divine decree actual history, the thoughts, the decisions, the actions of all of God's creatures. However, point three, foreknowledge relates to the divine decree for the believer only. The believer only. Four. Foreknowledge acknowledges what is certain for the believer only from the divine decree. Foreknowledge acknowledges what is certain for the believer only from the divine decree. Five, God foreknows all things as certainly future because he has first decreed them from his omniscience. God foreknows all things as certainly future because he has first decreed them from his omniscience. Seven, the omniscience of God places the facts into the divine decree, resulting in five categories of blessing for the believer. The omniscience of God places the facts into the divine decree, resulting in five categories of blessing for the believer. Turn over to Romans 8, 29 and 30. Romans 8, 29 and 30. Lewis Berry Chafer was one of the founders of Dallas Theological Seminary, one of the great, great grace men in the United States. He's, of course, in heaven now. He was a very grace-oriented, spiritually mature believer. He didn't have the languages. He was a great communicator, but he had no languages. And so he wanted to start a seminary so that he could train those male believers who had the gift of pastor-teacher and train them in the languages. Hebrew, Aramaic, and Koine Greek. Because he didn't want other pastors to be handicapped like he was. Because he didn't know the languages. And so he founded Dallas Theological Seminary. But he was, despite the fact he did not know the languages, he founded the seminary because he wanted to prepare men for the ministry by teaching them these things. But he was one of the most grace-oriented communicators. And I wasn't there while he was alive. But we heard the stories again and again and again that his favorite passage that he loved to teach, one of them, was Romans 8, 29 and 30. For those God foreknows, and this is foreknowledge is related to believers only, knowing that they would believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. For those God foreknew, He also predestined. Predestination is for believers only. There is no such thing as predestination for unbelievers. God doesn't predestine any unbeliever to the lake of fire. And when I was at Washington State University and majoring in English and in education, I had a double major, English and education. I had a professor, and every time in that class, I wrote something that was absolute truth from the Word of God. And I'd write a paper about it, and I'd put my soul into it. And I did that class after class after class. Every paper was communicating the absolute truth, principles of the Word of God. Until he kept me after class one time. Everybody else left, and he says, Dick, he says, I've noticed every paper you write about God and the Bible. He said, is there a reason why you do that? I said, well, my first year at Wazoo, I was in a composition English comp class, and I was a freshman. I wrote the first paper I wrote, I got an F. In fact, I got an F minus, 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 minus. And I went, she had on there, and come up and see me. After there was more red ink on my paper than my ink on the paper. She says, all you did was throw up on your paper. You said nothing beautifully, but you said nothing. Don't you believe in anything? I said, yes. Well, then why don't you write about something you believe in and put your soul into it? I did. That was my first letter or paper I wrote. I got F minus, 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 minus. I redid another paper. I got an A. She read it to the whole class. So I mentioned to this professor, now I'm down the road. I'm down the road a couple of years. I said, I'm writing about God and the Word of God because I believe it's absolute truth. And I can put my heart and soul into it. And that's why I do that. And then he looked at me, and I know God set this all up. And God opens the door. If you are living the spiritual life, if you are growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, he will open the door for you. And I was not a pastor at that time. I was a student at Wazoo. But God opened the door. I was in full-time Christian service. Just like all of you are in full-time Christian service. Every one of you are in full-time Christian service. I was right then. And God opened the door. And he opened the door for me to give my professor, I'm a student, he's the professor, the grace gospel. And he said, Dick, he says, my father is a Christian. Now, his father may be a Christian, may not be, but my father is a Christian. He told me, I am predestined to go to hell. That's what his father told him. Now, I said, wait, you got a wonderful dad. I said, your father can't predestine anyone to go to hell, and God doesn't predestine anyone to go to hell. The only people that have predestination are those who from their free will choose to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And predestination applies only to the ones who believe in Christ. God does not predestine any unbeliever to hell. Now, I said, your father has seen you do things that very disappointed him. Probably thought that you can't be a Christian and do the things that you've done. That's a non-issue. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, He paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world. He paid the penalty for all of your failures, all your flaws, all your sins. And since He paid the penalty for those sins, He offers a gift. And that gift is eternal life to anyone who simply believes in Him. And there's no... this isn't an accident. God's the one who set this up because He wanted you to hear this. And God, I think you've sent up some positive signals, the God consciousness. And God wanted you to get the absolute truth of the grace gospel. So I said, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you come under predestination, is because God had foreknowledge. He knew you were going to believe in Christ. Predestination, now we'll share the destiny of Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. And it goes on through here. And so this passage always means a lot to me. Romans 8, 29 and 30. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also elected to privilege. And those He elected to privilege, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. And Dr. Chafer would say, nobody slipped out. The same ones He foreknew, those same ones He predestined. The ones He predestined are the same ones He elected to privilege. Those He elected to privilege are the same ones He justified. Those He justified are the same ones He glorified. These are five phenomenal blessings that God has for the believer only. So the omniscience of God places the facts into the divine decree, resulting in five categories of blessing for the believer: foreknowledge, predestination, election to privilege, justification, glorification. Romans 8, 29 and 30. Point 8. Omniscience has three characteristics. Three characteristics. First of all, it is eternal. Because God is eternal and omniscient, He has always known everything. Omniscience is eternal. Turn over to Acts 15. Acts 15. Acts chapter 15, we'll start at verse 12. Acts 15, 12. The whole assembly became silent. That doesn't happen very often in a group of people. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles. The Gentiles through them. And when they finished, James spoke up. Brothers, fellow members of the royal family, listen to me. Peter has described to us how God at first showed His concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for Himself. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, after this, I will return, second advent, and rebuild David's fallen tent. That's in the millennial kingdom. Its ruins I will rebuild and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things that have been known from eternity past. that have been known from eternity past. So, omniscience has three characteristics. First of all, it is eternal, Acts 15, 12 to 18. Secondly, it is incomprehensible. It's not incomprehensible to God. It's just incomprehensible for us to know it all as human beings. We're finite human beings. Let's get, I'm blessed. I got a congregation of geniuses. You know so much about everything. We could take all of our genius, your genius. I'm not there. I mentioned last night, Deb and her two sisters were here celebrating Sister Laura's birthday. And they were named by their father, Sweet Pea, Petunia, and Rosebud. Well, in our family, it was three boys that came along, and my dad gave us a nickname after the Three Stooges. But I didn't want to bring that out. You know. It is incomprehensible. Many things are incomprehensible to us because we are finite man. However, because of his infinity, everything is clearly comprehensible to God. The Bible reveals only a small fraction of God's knowledge. Just a small fraction. Turn over to Romans 11. This isn't all that God knows, what you have there in your lap, the Bible. Just a very, very small fraction. Romans 11. Verse 33. Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depth, or the inexhaustibility, the depth of the riches and of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. The inexhaustibility, the depth of not only the riches, but also the wisdom and the knowledge of God. So it's incomprehensible. Third, it's wise. It's wise. Turn over to Ephesians 3, verse 10. Ephesians 3, 10. I told you in our class last night, we were studying doctrine of witnessing and the fact that we're all in full-time Christian service and we all have a ministry. Only dispensation in all of human history where every believer has a ministry, where every believer is in full-time Christian service. And one of the categories of our ministry is to have a ministry to the angels. Ministry to billions and billions and billions of angels. And Ephesians 3:10 describes this. Ephesians 3:10. His intent was that now through the church, that's you and me, that's the royal family of God, this church age saints, that now through the royal family of God, the church age believers, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the ruling demons and demons in authority in the heavenly realms. They're learning from you. What are they learning from you? They're learning from some members of the human race why God was totally right in creating the lake of fire for Satan and his fallen angels. And they're looking and seeing that. Because there are members of the human race that use their volition just like the angels did and say no to Jesus Christ. And then there are members of the human race who go positive and believe in Jesus Christ like the holy elect angels. And not only do they make decisions to believe in Christ, but they make decisions to make the Word of God more important than their life. And they grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and advance to spiritual maturity. And they're learning billions of angels are learning. And by watching you, watching the decisions you make, and they're learning, what are they learning? About the manifold wisdom of God. His intent was that now through the church, the royal family, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the ruling demons, angels who are rulers, and angels in authority, some of them demons in authority, in the heavenly realms. You might have been saying, well, how do you know that they're angels? Because they're in the heavenly realms, okay? You're all in the earthly realm. You know, it's hard when you got a congregation of geniuses, because when you're all geniuses, you think you know more than the pastor does. I'm always like, well, I can see the... Well, I'm going to get into preaching pretty quick, so I'll stop and we'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.